vision.
Creation.
The next idea.
You need to tell a story.
We've seen the Tim Allen voiced commercials touting Pure Michigan, and most of us can quickly sum up our identity: West Michigan, the Thumb, the UP, Southeast Michigan. But in his latest essay, our next idea partner, Jeff DeGraff, challenges us to think harder, think deeper, and create a good, strong story about Michigan, to build a strong Michigan brand. Jeff DeGraff teaches at the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan. Jeff, why does Michigan need a story?
Because it needs to hold together somehow. And, you know, it's not enough to do great things. You have to be able to tell the story about how the great things go together, how they affect people, how they actually make sense.
And that's for the outside world looking in, but us inside looking out.
Oh, I think it's as much for us as it is for anyone else. I mean, we all hear the rhetoric. We hear the West Michigan rhetoric. It kind of comes out of Grand Rapids. We hear the East Michigan rhetoric. Comes out of Detroit. And they don't sound like they go together.
No. Industrial hip and the pastoral nautical, you know, paradise.
And to me, it's just incredibly irritating to see this amazing amount of work being done by these incredible people really trying to have this renaissance in the state. Now, we're finally having one, and no one seems to be able to describe it very well. So, for example, I gave one of our local newscasters a hard time here, one of our television newscasters, because one of the things they said on the news was, well, we know how to tell Detroit's story. And I went on one of their programs. I said, well, tell me, what exactly is that story? Is it one, we're hipster music people? Well, if that's who we are, we're Brooklyn. And if you think we're Brooklyn, you've never been to Detroit or Brooklyn, right?
Okay.
We're green. Well, no, that's Pittsburgh. Oh, we're entrepreneurial. That's everybody. Who are we, right? What are we? What makes us special? Those kinds of things don't fit with us, or they're so general, they're not useful.
Not useful. Now, what about Pure Michigan?
I like the Pure Michigan campaign, and I think it's great for tourism because it shows kind of our natural resources.
It builds Michigan as a brand.
And it really does. And I think that's wonderful that they're showing Michigan as kind of this recreational area. But I think we need an identity as well. You know, I think when I was growing up in Michigan, first of all, the temperaments of people in different regions were the same as they are now. And it wasn't that everything was really nice. You know, some of these towns have always been tough, kind of working class towns. That's kind of who we are. But we had a more general idea of what the state represented. So, for example, we're a state of makers. This has always been a state of makers. We build things here. This is a state that's surrounded by 90% of all the fresh water in the United States. There's water everywhere. This is the state that's connected most to Canada. You know, I guess New York does more trade with Canada, but they're five times our size. Mm-hmm. You know, we're the great international gateway to our number one partner. So we've always had these things that we knew about Michigan, but what's happening is because we don't have a story, everybody else tells our story. And they tell the story of urban blight, and they tell the story of the Rust Belt.
Ruin porn.
The Great Lakes, the algae. That's not the story we want them to tell.
Now, you mention in your essay for the next idea the Chrysler Super Bowl ad imported from Detroit, and that's the one was a 2-minute ad we watched during the Super Bowl, Eminem tooling through the streets, and then walking into the Fox Theater, and the choir is there. You thought that was a real powerful story. What was so effective about that ad?
It actually captured in 2 minutes who we were, and it related entirely to where the United States was. What was wonderful about the commercials, they drove through Detroit, not just the nice parts, the bad parts too. They showed it for what it really was. And then they said, you know who we're not? We're not the Emerald City. We're not the Windy City. We're the Motor City. This is what we do. They showed a rapper who's a sort of an edgy white kid. They showed the great black community that exists in Detroit, the wonderful choir. You know, they showed an amazing amount of pride. And basically, they did not try to deny what the city was. They said built in Detroit, made in Detroit. Mm. And I think America could relate to it. We had gone through this terrible, we were in the middle of this terrible financial crisis. And it's that feeling of down but not out. We're still here. And I think people could relate to it. And Chrysler sales took off. Mm-hmm. And okay, they've changed the slogan a little bit now, but boy, it really, I think, saved the company.
You have some ideas in your essay about ways we might develop our Michigan story. And one intriguing one I thought was to appoint a poet laureate for Michigan. We have not had one since the 1950s. And you're one of the leading experts on innovation in the world, and you're recommending a poet?
I am recommending a poet. I think somebody needs to be in charge of the story. I think we can't keep giving this to spin doctors and marketing organizations that have all kinds of slogans that don't hold together, that don't mean anything, that basically represent small bits and pieces. I think we need to find not only a person, but it needs to be a role so it encompasses all of us, things that bring us all together. That's what a poet laureate's supposed to do. They're supposed to tell the tale. They're supposed to perpetuate the mythology, the positive mythology that basically defines who we are and, more importantly, who we're not, who we are not. So these fragmented messages, which this postmodern world we're living in with micro-segmentation, you know, think about Facebook
Twitter
and LinkedIn and all this, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't hold together. So we need to make some very explicit efforts to hold together.
Another recommendation you have is that we need to double down on arts education. And I have to smile because there's just nothing but solid focus on STEM, the science, technology, engineering, and math. And you're saying, wait a minute, we need to go from STEM to STEAM and build in that arts education.
I do, and I think it's critical. And you're talking to somebody whose doctorate's in a technical area, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I came up in the sort of in that technical track. But here's the big thing. Anything that's a low-level analytical procedure is now an app or being offshored. Anything that can be done in a turnkey way is going away. So why are we training for that? Those are not going to be jobs. The jobs are going to be around people who can create things that are better and new. And in order to do that, you have to have the experience of being creative, the painting and singing and writing music and composing literature and reading and going to the theater and dancing and all the things that allow us to make things better and new. Because in a high-wage economy, you have to, that's the innovation premium. That's the only way to perpetuate a high-wage economy is to do something that is worth paying more for.
Yet we see school districts like Lansing gutting their art and music programs.
It's just makes me want to cry. It's very sad. And I think in the long term, it's absolutely devastating. I think we have to make a absolutely consorted, a real push in order to reinstate arts, not just to where they were, but I mean to actually go over the top on this. When you look at countries that should not be able to compete worldwide because of their size, you notice that they have very strong arts education. One of them, of course, is the Netherlands. You know, way too small to be competitive worldwide, but because they have such a strong arts education, they have this great design culture. They make a lot of new things. Scandinavia, same kind of a thing. We need to learn from those cultures that have done well at that.
Jeff, what do you think is keeping us from developing this story, this common story for Michigan?
Anger and fear. And they're terrible things. I think what's happened is that we've all been sucked into these kind of micro-segmenting political game masters, and where one group is defined by hating another group. Mm. And I go back to when I was coming up in this state, there were people who were on both sides of the aisle, but the notion was we had a common identity. It's called identification and valuation. We said, well, we're all part of Michigan, and that's what really matters here, and we value that. I think we need to, in a sense, put some pieces in place, whether it's a poet laureate or creating our story or having Pure Michigan sort of work with us on this brand because they've done a nice job about part of this, but pull some things together where there are some commonalities, like a Venn diagram where the circles cross each other. Mm. What's in the middle of that circle? I think that's the first thing. And the second thing is people are afraid. We've been through some terrible recessions here in Michigan starting in the early 1980s, and when people get afraid, they become highly reactive. They tell you what they don't want. They tell you what they're trying to not have. What they don't do, they don't tell you what they want. And people who are telling you what they don't want, right, are always going to go back to the past. Well, in the past, it was like this. Mm-hmm. They're always going to go back to the devil that they know, not the devil that they don't know, right? So we need to get people to be forward-centric again, to be future-centric here.
With that in mind, I have to note the state Senate here recently passed a bill that would emphasize freedom of religion, gun rights, and states' rights in teaching the U.S. Constitution in schools in Michigan. And with this bill, some Senate Republicans are clearly looking to tell a certain story about America. So how might we keep this process of developing Michigan's single story from being completely politicized?
The only way to do this, I think, is to go beyond politics. I'm sorry to say this. I'm a business school professor. I believe in economics, and I'm not a huge believer in the political process. I think what happens is people are easily co-opted and coerced into these very extreme views. I think most of us don't have them. I think most of us are relatively practical, pragmatic people in the North, and we want to see progress in our state. And I think in order to do that, we need to put some pieces in place that give us a third option. And a third option is not to be on the political left or the political right. A third option is to be somewhere in the prosperous progress of everyone, of the I don't want to say the middle, because that sounds very vanilla, but the progress of the center of the bell curve, right, where most of us are basically trying to make sure that our kids have a better way of life, our kids are reasonably educated, mm-hmm. and they have the ability to self-actualize and to make their own dreams come true.
Jeff DeGraff's essay is on the Next Idea page at MichiganRadio.org. And as always, we welcome your thoughts and views in the comments section beneath the essay or on Michigan Radio's Facebook page or, of course, on Twitter at Next Idea MI. Jeff, thanks so much.
Thank you, Cynthia.